Okay. Figures of speech. That's it. Now, Peter said that baptism was a figure. A figure is not the real thing. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure. For baptism doth also not putting away of the filth of the flesh. The word flesh there comes from the word sarx, the natural man, lying, stealing. It's not the dirt of the body. You take a bath to get rid of the dirt of the body, not baptism. How many of you are baptized to get the dirt off your body? You brethren teach that it has reference to the dirt of the body. I've heard you say it. Well, by the way, baptism doesn't take care of the dirt of your body. It's the filth of the things that's on the inside that he's referring to. It's a figure of that. And Paul said in Romans 6 and 3 that baptism is a likeness. Likeness to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, a likeness is not the real thing. This gives you a likeness of the Scriptures, but it's not the one that's in the book. Okay, it's a picture of it in type. Acts 22 and 16 is a figure of speech also. Arise and be baptized. It cannot contradict itself. Paul can't say one thing and say another thing and mean two things. When he says that it is a likeness, he means it's a likeness. Baptism is like a burial. Jesus was buried in the water, and he was raised in the likeness of his resurrection. It's not the real thing. By the way, he said you get the blood of Christ in the water. Tut. Jesus said he took his blood into heaven and made an atonement for us. He was a high priest, remember? There's not a passage of Scripture in the Bible that says blood is in the baptism. You're baptized into Christ. That preposition, ace, baptized with reference to Christ. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. Look at the Scriptures there. 12 and 12 has reference to the body. And that body is a local church. The Lord never at any time referred to a universal body. It's always a local church. And you're not baptized into a local church. It prepares you for the local church when you're baptized. And by the way, another thing. He said that, where does it say that John baptized or did baptize the apostles? If he didn't baptize them, tell me who did and when. You want an answer on something, tell me who baptized the apostles and when and where. Give me Scripture on it. When they were ready to ordain one to take the place of Judas Iscariot, the Apostle Peter says, one that has continued with us all the time, beginning from the baptism of John. Plain as it can speak. If John did not baptize the apostles, tell me who did. If he didn't prepare the material for the Lord, who prepared it? What kind of material did the Lord use? The apostles. Who prepared it? John the Baptist. Believe it, John the Baptist did what God said that he should do, prepare the way. He preached the gospel, which is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to our sins. Incidentally, this same Paul that said baptism is a likeness said to the church at Corinth, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius and the household of Stephanus. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. It wasn't Paul's job to baptize, and he didn't do the baptizing. Someone else did it. Well, by the way, if you've got to have baptism in order to be saved, Paul didn't save them. But in the fourth chapter, in verse 15, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He said, I've brought you into life by the gospel. 1 Corinthians 5 and 14. Turn over there and read it with me. I want you to see that. 4:15. Beg your pardon. It'll take me but a jiffy to find it. He said, I've brought you into life. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. What is the gospel? The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins. Doesn't even mention baptism. He said, I thank God I didn't baptize you. But he said, I've brought you into life. Well, how did he bring them into life if life is in baptism? I didn't baptize you. And I thank God that I didn't do it. Beloved, if baptism had been essential, let me tell you something. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest ministers the world ever had, would have been emphasizing it as the method of washing away your sins. The term wash away is simply another figure. Here's other figures. The Lord's Supper is a figure, Matthew 26:26. Or are you like the Catholic that say that the bread and the wine is the literal body of the Son of God? You take the position that baptism is the literal Savior of you. Because without baptism, nobody can be saved. I thought Jesus Christ was the Savior. You can't have two Saviors. If Christ is the Savior, Jesus is the Savior, baptism is not. By the way, again, what kind of life do you get in the water? Fish? Frogs? Go back to Genesis 1:21, and the waters brought forth so-and-so. The literal water brings forth fish and frogs and tadpoles and mosquitoes and things like that. That's what the literal water brings forth. It does not bring forth eternal life. Jesus said to the woman of the well that was dealing with water, he said, if you would have asked me, I would have given you your living water that you need not come hither to draw. And beloved, that's the kind of water that we're praying to. Isaac was in a figure, Hebrews 11:19. Holy places, figures of the true, Hebrews 11:19. The leopard cured himself figuratively, Mark 1:14. Noah secured in a figure. Peter said that, the like figure, whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. When you follow the Lord in the ordinance of baptism, after you've accepted Christ as a personal Savior, your conscience is settled. Okay. Every one of those that the apostle or the great prophet of God led the nation glorify him, not for something that man can. By the way, if baptism is essential to salvation, our salvation is dependent on the preacher. And he couldn't preach, now is the time of salvation, today is the day, and now is the time. He'd have to say, wait till I can get the baptistry filled, or wait till we can get in it. You've got to wait to get baptism, and you may have to drive 10 miles to the creek, or other. Baptism depends upon an individual man to do it. It takes the work of man before he can be saved, if that's a fact. And you can't be saved without it, according to you. Think of it seriously. Baptism is not the grace of God. Grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yours. Baptism's of yourself. It's something that you do, and we do as preachers. But salvation's not in that. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Works less than anybody should boast. Well, I'm not going to take up all my more nights for this. I want to get some more argument. Now, it says the kingdom of God was not to come until yet future. Well, Jesus plainly said to that great group that he talked to in the fifth chapter, yours is the kingdom of God. My brother, And there's at least five different meanings of the kingdom in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the kingdom of this world. God's the head of the world. And the earth and the subjects therein comes under his supervision. The kingdom of Israel. The kingdom of our Lord's return that we're taught to pray for in the Lord's Prayer, model prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That refers to the our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which you don't believe in. But the Lord is going to return, and the book says then he will sit on the throne of David. He isn't sitting on the throne of David today, and he didn't start on the day of Pentecost. He said, I'm sitting on my Father's throne. He's sitting on the throne with his Father and took that up when? Well, you be the judge. He's going to build an earthly kingdom. Now, I will build my church. Upon this rock, I will build. The word oikodomeso, the Greek word that's used there, and the lexicons that teach us the meaning of the words in Greek, says it means to start from the foundation and go on to completion. He hasn't finished the church yet. He's still building her. But she came into existence as an institution during his personal ministry when he called out the first five people and assembled them yonder on the Sea of Galilee, at the Sea of Galilee. Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. My brother teaches that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were law books. But I tell you what I'd like for him to do. I'd like for him to open his book in the New Testament and see if they're in there. He put an ad in the paper not long ago about Mark 16:16. Open your Bible and see if it's in the Bible. If it's in there, that's there. Yes, sir, it's in there. And right under that verse in the Bible that he uses, the Revised Standard Version, it states that these verses were not in the two most ancient manuscripts. And if it didn't come for 300 years after the Lord was on earth, I think it is a long time getting into the Bible. What did they do in that period of 300 years without it? Okay. And he quoted again, Acts 8:37. I challenge him to read in the revised version that he uses and see if Acts 8:37 is in it. It's not in there. If you've got a revised version, look. And that's the kind he uses. It's not in there. Wonder why they left it out. Because of the simple fact it was not in the original languages. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then he baptized him. That verse isn't in there. If you've got a Scofield Bible, it'll give you that information in the center that's not in the ancient manuscripts. Not in the old manuscripts. Not there. What is it? It's an interpolation, just like Mark 16:16 is. Put in about 300 years after the rest of it was given. Not in the oldest manuscripts. Okay, well, so much for that. Law and the prophets were until John. What about the law? Turn to the book of Matthew chapter 5. We'll let the Lord teach us about that. What about the law? Luke 16:16 says the law and the prophets were until John. Open your Bible, and if you find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament, it's in the Bible then. My brother being the witness. Huh? Okay. Look at verse 19 first. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of the heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I say unto you, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case. Go over to verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Where's that found? Found in the Ten Commandments, 20th chapter of Exodus. Ye have heard, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. down to verse 31. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, what authority did Jesus have to say something else besides what the law said? Because he's setting the law aside, and when he died on Calvary, he took it out of the way. The law and the prophets were until John. What are the law books? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. What are the prophetic books? All the way, all the prophets. Every one of the prophets included in it. All right. What's the next one? But I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. Thou shalt not forswear thyself, and so on. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, and so on. Verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. On and on and on. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law to a jot and to a tittle and took it out of the way when he nailed it to his cross. But, by the way, that's not the day of Pentecost. Nothing happened on the day of Pentecost except the Holy Spirit becoming the administrator, and the Lord promised that that should take place before he left this world, and that they talked in tongues and preached the gospel so that all nations could hear them. And Luke 24, 46 to 47. Look over there and read it for us. Look for yourself. Repentance and remission of sin shall be preached in all the world, beginning at Jerusalem, or to all nations, it says. When did he preach it to all nations? Day of Pentecost. You won't find anything else there either. You won't find organization. You won't find where it began. You won't find where it came into existence. You won't find any such statement as that relative to the church in the second chapter of the Gospel of Acts. Read it for yourself. I'm not responsible for you. I can only tell you that it's there. Had the ordained ministry while he was on earth. When were the apostles ordained? All right. You can't ordain a person to the ministry unless he's been saved and immersed, a church member. In Matthew 3:13-14, he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12. Well, who were those, the 12 apostles? You mean he ordained them without baptism? No. They were prepared for the church by John the Baptist. By the way, the Baptist is in name. When you're looking for a name, you'll find it 15 times in the word lexicons will every one of you tell you. 15 times in there, John the Baptist. That's not his occupation. That's not his name. You wouldn't say Hoyt the Chastain or David the Bonner, unless he's the only one that existed. Now, John the Baptist was the only one until he immersed those others, and the Lord used them so that they could do the immersion, and he gave the same commission to those apostles that John had. You go and preach the gospel and do this. And the good book says the apostles baptized. And they said that Jesus baptized. No, but his disciples. He didn't do the baptizing. His apostles did it for him. And they did it after the baptism of John and before the day of Pentecost. Let me tell you something. The church was in operation. She had the Great Commission, or she had a commission before Pentecost. Luke 9:1-16. He told them, go not the way of the Gentiles, and then he said to the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The limited commission. And before he left the world, he gave that same church the worldwide commission, and he didn't give it on Pentecost. It is given 50 days before Pentecost. Okay. Authorized to baptize, John 4:1-7. 1-2, beg your pardon. John refused to baptize him. I gave it to you a while ago. Whoever heard tell of one of your brethren refusing to baptize 5,000? Because baptism, you've got to do that in order to save them. If you refuse them, you refuse them heaven then, if it's dependent on baptism. Okay. Hindered from entering the kingdom, Matthew 23:13. Woe unto you. This is number three of the transparency. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. You can't shut up something that didn't exist. Huh? You can't close something that didn't exist. There had to be a kingdom for them to shut it up. Okay. Hindered from entering the kingdom. Okay. The Lord's Supper was given to the church during his personal ministry and before the day of Pentecost. Give me one scripture that says that he instituted it at Pentecost, and I'll shut my mouth on it and not say another word. Find it. It's not in there. They had the Lord's Supper given to the church by the Lord in person when he ate the supper with them, Passover with them, and instituted his supper. All right, they had the gospel before Pentecost. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And he took bread when he speaks of the Lord's Supper, Luke 22:19-20. Took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Another symbol. Do it in remembrance of me. Same thing as baptism. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he dealt with 1 Corinthians 12:13. Let's go and look at that and see what we can find in it. In verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12, he's talking about the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? The body of Christ is his church. There isn't any question of that. It is the body of Christ. But let me tell you something. You're not baptized into it. You're baptized with reference to it. Nobody has ever been baptized in the light of God's Word with reference to the church. Baptism doesn't symbolize the church. Baptism symbolizes the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you're not baptized in church, you're baptized in water. And once again, after being baptized, you walk into the church, you're carried into the church, or ride a car or someone to so in church. It doesn't put you in a different position. It does not change your location. And the Greek preposition that's used in every one of those things, it shows relationship, and when it shows relationship, should be translated with reference to or as regards. And when it shows position, should be a change of position or location, should be translated in or into. Beloved, you're not baptized into Jesus Christ. If you did, you'd have to go to heaven to get him. He's not in the water. Where is he? He's sitting on the throne of his Father in heaven. You don't get him in baptism. Not a passage in the Scripture that teaches that. It's a misuse of the language to teach that you're put into Christ by baptism. It symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now then, Luke 11:20. Jesus said, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God will come on the day of Pentecost. No. Is come upon you. Luke 11:20. Did he cast out devils? Well, he said, if I did, then no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Let's go to number four. Jesus had a company from the baptism of John. And you find that in Acts 1:21-22. We've dealt with that before. Then Jesus gave the great commission in person 40 days before the day of Pentecost to the church to go into all the world, Matthew 28:18-20. They had the Spirit in Matthew 10:20. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. That's either the truth or it's not the truth. Jesus plainly said, to the disciples, "It is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." Then John 20 and 22 that he quoted. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost." No, sir, he didn't say that. He said to that church in person, "Receive in the present tense ye the Holy Spirit." Jesus appointed them a kingdom in Luke 22, 29 to 30. "I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me." Past tense, not future tense. Luke 22, 29 to 30. "And when ye eat and drink at my table, that ye may eat and drink in my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." That's time when the Lord shall return and establish his earthly kingdom on earth. And that's what we're looking for today, for the Lord to return and establish his church. Sit on David's throne. The Lord said when he returns, he's going to sit on David's throne. David's throne never was in heaven. He says he's sitting on David's throne in heaven. The Father's throne's in heaven, and he said, "I'm sitting on his throne," not David's throne. But he's going to come and receive David's throne, which was in the city of Jerusalem. By the way, he was the next heir to the throne. In the scripture that I read to you, you know, the wise men came from the east and said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Huh? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? And when Pilate asked him, "Art thou king?" he said, "I am." Well, it's either the truth or not the truth. There's no two ways about it. Well, is he king of the earth, the kingdom? No. He told the disciples when they asked him, "Without this time restore the kingdom to Israel," he said, "After this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down, and I will raise the ruins thereof." Acts 15 and 6. By the way, Jesus, when he returns, is going to establish Israel's kingdom. There's never been a king sitting on David's throne since the Lord Jesus Christ, or before at that particular time. They had no king at the time he was on earth. He was born the next heir to the kingdom of Israel, but he didn't take that kingship. He didn't come for that purpose. He came to bring salvation and fulfill what he had promised in ages past. At time he would give his life for the salvation of the world. If you want to find out whether people were saved during his ministry or not, read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. From beginning to end, in that 11th chapter, there's literally dozens of people that are stated by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And they accuse us of teaching it faith only. Never has been a greater falsehood talked on Baptists as faith only. We always preach repentance toward God and faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's you guys that change the thing and put repentance after faith. Jesus never gave that. Repentance comes before faith. And when faith is in the individual and manifested, the repentance has already taken place. Just like the woman crying, bowed at his feet, she's already repenting. No use tell her to repent when she's bawling all over her face, not she can wash his feet with him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to her, "Thy faith hath saved thee." No, your baptism saves you. Thy faith hath saved thee. It's like Paul speaking. "I thank God I baptized none of you. But Crispus and Gaius." Baptism is not in the gospel plan of salvation for salvation. The gospel definition, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sin. And he said to the Corinthians, "I brought you into life through the gospel." All the way through. 80-some passages of Scripture. And I've got every one of them here typed off by my computer. Give you every place where it's found. And you don't find any place. I challenge you to bring her forth where baptism is in association with the definition of the gospel. I'll quit the debate and sign the statement that I am defeated if you'll produce it. Thank you.